Welcome to the first exercise. Mark Michael Lewis here, and I will be your guide through these exercises. You'll probably want to have your exercise sheet or a journal in front of you so you have a central place where you can write down all of your answers. Each of these exercises is designed to be completed in about 30 minutes. To make that happen, we're going to use a fast writing technique that's designed to leverage your intuition and assist you to get the heart of the matter of each question. For example, the instructions for the exercise might suggest that you spend 30 seconds on a particular question, or 60 seconds. I encourage you to stick to that limited time so you'll write down only the most important answers rather than getting caught up in thinking about the less important ones. Of course, if you're really inspired by a particular question and you want to explore it further, feel free to stop the audio and do so. But I'll recommend you only do so for 60 seconds so you keep using the fast writing technique. Use the time constraint to answer quickly so you use your intuition versus your ideas about what you think the right answer should be. We want the answer that's true for you, whatever it is, not the answer you think you should have or an answer that would sound good to someone else. We want to focus on the reality of your experience, whatever that is, because reality is where all of the action and all of the traction is. So go with the first answer you get and write it down quickly so that you don't have time to talk yourself out of it. Okay, this first exercise is all about you getting clear about your want, what you really want, your how, the tools and techniques you'll use to make it happen, your why, what's at stake, what really matters to you, and your will, your commitment to take action even when you aren't in the mood. And to get you in touch with these answers, I'll be asking you questions and you just answer the questions that I ask. You won't need to stop the audio or anything. I'll give you a time period in which you can answer, and you just move right along as I guide you through the exercise. So let's get started. First, let's get some reality about where you're at right now. Because the truth is, wherever you are in your relationships, that's where you have to start from. Now, you might not want to be where you are in your relationship, but let's just notice it doesn't matter where you want to be, because you can't start from where you want to be. You have to start from where you are. Remember, reality is where all of the action and all of the traction is. So let's start by getting some reality around your relationship. But if you're like most of my clients, you already have a pretty good idea about what's not going right. Right? What's wrong in your relationship? So let's start by getting in touch with a different kind of reality, namely the reality of what's right in your relationship. What is it that you actually love about your partner and your partnership as it is? Or for this question, as it was? Because for this first question, I want to ask you about some of your favorite memories with your partner. When you look back on all of your experiences, what are some of your favorite moments? When were you glad and excited and loving being with your partner? In just a second, I'm going to have you take 30 seconds to remember and write down some of your favorite memories with your partner. I'll say something along the lines of, ready, go. And when I do that, you just answer the question that I ask as fast as you can until I tell you to stop. And somewhere about halfway through your time period, I'll say something along the lines of 15 more seconds so that you're not surprised when you run out of time. So get ready, take 30 seconds, and just write down as many of your favorite memories as you can in 30 seconds. Try for 5 or more, knowing that you will get exactly what you get. Okay, ready, 30 seconds, go. Fifteen more seconds. Finishing up. Okay, great. 30 seconds goes by pretty quick, doesn't it? In fact, since it was the first time and it goes by so quickly, I'm going to give you another 30 seconds to write down even more memories. No matter how many you got, this is your chance to get more. Which isn't so bad because we're talking about your favorite memories. And remembering good experiences with your partner is a really smart thing to do if you want to start rebuilding and deepening your partnership with them. So, 30 more seconds to write down your favorite memories. Go. Fifteen more seconds. Finish up. All right, you're getting the hang of this. Now, let's examine your favorite character traits in your partner. What are the things that you respect and admire and enjoy and appreciate about them? Again, you're probably all too familiar with the parts that drive you nuts about them. So let's focus on the parts that you like. The things that are sometimes hard to notice when you're really upset, but the truth is you really do like that about them. Again, let's take 30 seconds and come up with as many as you can in 30 seconds. Ready, go. Fifteen more seconds. Finish up. See how easy this is? And by the way, it's supposed to be easy. So relax and enjoy. If you came up with one or two or four or five, you're doing it right. Next, what are the things that remind you about good times with your partner? You might have a favorite song or a favorite location or a movie or a joke or a book or whatever it is. Take 30 seconds and write down the various triggers or things that remind you of good times with your partner. 30 seconds, go. Fifteen more seconds. Finishing up. Excellent. I encourage you to think about your favorite memories and your favorite character traits and the triggers or anchors that remind you about the good times with your partner. Our memories are actually a storehouse of good feelings that, if we're smart about how we go about it, we can use to help us get inspired in tough times and remember why we're doing what we're doing. So, if you want to take more time with these, I understand. I encourage it. In fact, anytime you've got 30 to 60, 90 seconds, it's generally a profitable activity to think about the best experiences you've had and the things you love about your partner and the things that remind you of good times. It helps get you in the mood to invest the time and energy and intelligence so you can create more teamwork and more fun and more intimacy. When in doubt, remember the good times. Now, let's move on to your want. What is it that you really want in your partnership? If you were to create a thriving partnership, what would that look like? And here, let's explore three major attitudes or three major places to focus in order to make your partnership better and better and better. I call the first one, stop the bleeding. The second is to make the okay stuff good. And the third is to make the good stuff great. Often when people decide that they're going to make their relationship better, they just focus on stopping the bleeding and stopping the bad stuff. And while that's important, it's just as important to find things that are going okay and make them good, and find the things that are going well and make them great. I mean, think about it. You could stop all of the bad stuff and get to zero, and it would still suck. So let's go through each of these in turn and get your mind thinking about it. First, let's stop the bleeding. Let's make the bad stuff tolerable or okay. And for many people, this is one of the easiest parts because they're so clear about what's not working. But let's just take 30 seconds and write down some of the things that aren't going well, that are pain points in your partnership, and how you'd like those to actually become things that are going well. How do you want it to be different? How do you want it to be relative to how it is? So that you can use the techniques of this course to focus on them and make them better. So, as specifically as you can in a short period of time, what are the problems in your relationship? And what do you want instead? Where do you want to stop the bleeding ASAP? 30 seconds. Go. Fifteen more seconds. And finish up. Okay. My guess is that you could have taken more than 30 seconds there. That's okay. We just want to choose a couple of them, make them better, so that we can get some traction, get some momentum. Now, let's move to the second attitude of taking okay things or neutral things or tolerable things and actually making them good and pleasurable. What are some things in your partnership which are fine, but it'd be great if they were actually good, if they were actually rewarding and exciting and fulfilling? What are some things that are basically working that it would be great if they worked better? Take 30 seconds and write those down now. Fifteen more seconds. Finishing up. Great. The truth is, it's a lot easier to take something that's okay and make it good than it is to take something that's bleeding and make it stop. So this is a great opportunity for you to really build your relationship without diving into the sometimes tricky and even treacherous waters of being emotionally upset about something that's wrong. In general, this is a great place to get bread and butter improvement in your relationship and to stabilize the foundation so you can do the deeper work and the higher work. Next, let's move on to the third attitude, which is focusing on things that are actually already good, that already make you feel good, and making them great, making them more fulfilling and satisfying. Take a moment and write down some of your favorite parts of the relationship and how you would like them to get even better. What are the good things and how do you want them to be great? 30 seconds, go. Fifteen more seconds. Finishing up. All right. So that is your want. And of course, the more you do those kinds of exercises, the more you get in touch with the want, the more you can be clear about where you're going and how to steer to get there. As they say, you can't hit a target that you can't see. And the more you clarify the pain that you want to get to okay, the okay that you want to get to good, and the good that you want to get to great, the more you can orient your mind on making the changes that make the difference. Now, let's move on to your why. Why do you care? Why would you bother to invest your time and energy and intelligence in making your relationship better? What's at stake for you? And what do you stand for? What is it that you insist on having in your life? What's your why? To help you get in touch with this and clarify it, I'll ask you three sets of questions and you will come up with answers. Isn't this so tough? To begin with, let's come back to reality and the reality of your partnership. Because in reality, your partnership is exactly how it is right now. Warts and all. And where it goes from here is a function of what you bring to it. And of course, what your partner brings to it. But since you don't make their choices for them, we're going to focus on what you bring to it. Because the truth is, if you wanted to, you could sabotage this relationship and send it into the dumps real quick, right? The choices that you make have a profound impact on what happens in your partnership. And in contrast, if you get clear about your want and learn a powerful how, and in the process engage your partner in making things better, your future can get better and better and better. So let's explore what's at stake for you around creating thriving or not creating thriving in your partnership. And first, let's get real about the ugly path that your partnership can take if you don't get your issues handled. What are the real-world consequences that could happen if you don't work things out? What's really at stake in your relationship? What's the future that you want to avoid that you do not want to have happen? Take 30 seconds and get real about the potential pain of not thriving and how much you want to avoid that. 30 seconds. Go. Fifteen more seconds. Finishing up. Okay, I get that that isn't a pretty picture, but it's important to recognize what's at stake in your partnership so you're sufficiently motivated to do something about it to avoid it. Often the most tangible and immediate part of your why is to avoid that negative future we were just talking about. Sometimes people don't want to talk about it, but there's a tremendous amount of potential motivation there if you can face it and do something about it. So, the first part of your why is the pain that you want to avoid. And in contrast, let's look at the second part of your why, which is the pleasure that you want to achieve, the goodness of what's possible if you can just get your stuff together and create a thriving partnership. How is it that you really want your relationship to be? What are the kind of experiences you want to share with your partner? I mean, imagine that you've actually created the partnership that you want, just the way you've always wanted it. How will you know that you have it? What does it look like? How does it feel to be a part of it? What is it that's really possible for you? What is it that you really want? Take 30 seconds and write down some of the most attractive things of that potential future that you really want. Go. Fifteen more seconds. Finishing up. Great. Of course, this part of your why is really an extension of your want. You could say it's the part of your want that you really, really care about, the part that really matters, both in terms of what you don't want and what you do want. Because what's at stake is your why. Why it's worth it for you to invest your time and energy and intelligence into creating a thriving partnership. Which brings us to the third part of your why. What you stand for. The quality of life and person that you are committed to being in the world. Sometimes people call these your values, but then it becomes a big head trip. The question is, who do you want to be in this life? What are the standards you set for yourself? What is it that you want from yourself? What kind of person do you want to be? And in the context of your relationship, what kind of relationship do you want to have? And what kind of partner do you want to be in that partnership? Because sometimes when the chips are down and things get stressful and your partner's being a jerk, the one thing that's going to keep you in the game and keep you playing to win is just because that's the kind of person you are, that's what you care about, and that's what you demand from yourself, even when things aren't going well. So take 30 seconds and write down your standards for yourself. What do you stand for? Who do you want to be in your partnership? 30 seconds, go. Fifteen more seconds. Finish up. Okay. This third part of your why, what you stand for, is a critical part of creating thriving partnerships. Couples often come to me when they're at their wits' end, and they just don't see how to make their partnership work anymore. But at the same time, they sometimes feel like they just haven't tried hard enough yet. And they don't want to say goodbye to something potentially beautiful until and unless they've given it their best try. Or sometimes they realize that they've really been contributing to the problem, and it just doesn't sit well for them that they're not stepping up. In this process of creating thriving partnerships, we want to leverage that. We want to say, okay, I am going to be the person that I want to be in this partnership, even if my partner isn't. And I'm going to do what I can to see if we can save this thing. Out of respect for my partnership and my partner, and for the few things that I've done that have been less than great, I'm going to do my best to make up for this, turn this thing around, and get us on track to thriving. Taking on that kind of stance and attitude can be incredibly powerful in your partnership. It's honorable and courageous and good. And I will say, it is a two-edged sword. Sometimes people say that and then put up with things in their partnership that they should not put up with. Instead of bringing strength and leadership to the partnership, they end up becoming a martyr who sacrifices themselves for the partnership. And of course, I want to highlight the strength and leadership part of this stance so that you'll use it to honor yourself, not to sacrifice yourself. Get clear about who you want to be so that you can use the techniques I'm going to teach you to build truly win-win agreements with your partner. The clearer we become about our stand, the more powerfully it guides and motivates us to make choices for thriving. Our stand for who we want to be in partnership is a critical part of our why. Now that we've helped you get in touch with your what and your why, let's move to your will and then your how. First, your will. What will you will yourself to do? What is your commitment? In the session, I described your willpower as your will to leverage your why, to use your how, to get your want. The more certain and clear you are about what you will do and what you will not do, the further out you can chart your course, because you can count on yourself to do the things that you say that you're going to do, even when you're not in the mood. So the question becomes, what is your will? What are your commitments in this partnership, in learning how to create a thriving partnership? What kind of commitments or agreements make sense given your why, given what you stand for and what you want and what you want to avoid, and given your want in terms of the bleeding that you want to stop to get to zero, the okay stuff you want to make good, and the good stuff that you want to make great? What's your commitment to making your partnership in the real world thrive? Take 30 seconds and write out some ideas about how you can commit. What kind of commitments would you make in order to create a thriving partnership? What are you willing to invest, and what are you willing to demand from yourself on that journey? 30 seconds, go. Fifteen more seconds. Finishing up. Great. Notice, this is where the rubber meets the road. Because it's one thing to have nice ideas, it's another thing to make real commitments. Guess which one actually leads to creating thriving partnerships?
That's right, you guessed it.
The commitments that you make, your will, set the tone for who you're going to be in partnership and therefore what becomes possible in that partnership. In fact, although I'm not going to get into this here, your commitments are your partnership. And if you want to change your partnership immediately, the first thing to change is your will to make new commitments to the partnership. And I don't know what commitments you wrote down in the last 30-second writing time, but just like at the end of the last lesson, I asked you to make a simple commitment, I'm going to suggest that you make another one right now. Fortunately, it's the same basic choice with the same basic commitment, just extended a bit. I encourage you right now to make the commitment that you are going to honor your why and achieve your what by choosing to master the art of thriving partnership, to get good at the how of intimacy and teamwork and fun, to deepen your what and your how and your why and your will so that you get better and better and better. And I want you to make this a priority, to make it a commitment that for the next month, you're going to invest time and energy and your intelligence into learning and implementing the best how that you can about how to create thriving partnerships. So if you're game with this, take 10 seconds and say out loud, unless you're on a bus, I commit for the next month to learn and implement great techniques to create thriving partnerships. 10 seconds, go. Excellent. Now, to make that happen, put a number on it. How many hours per week are you going to invest in the next month to master the how of partnership? Take 5 seconds and choose a number. Great. Now, write down that number, commit to a friend that you're going to hit that number, then enjoy your journey of learning over the next month. So, we got a good head start on your what, your why, and your will, at least for the next month. Now, the question is your how. In the next 3 audios in this series, plus an advanced bonus session, I'm going to teach you how to move from right-wrong thinking and victimhood and self-righteousness to right-right thinking, synergy, teamwork, intimacy, fun, and thriving partnership. These are, bar none, the most powerful tools I know of in relationship, especially if you want to save a relationship that's either on the rocks or seemingly headed there. I promise you that these ideas will, one, make sense to you. You'll immediately see how they apply and it'll give you insight. But even more, when you use them, they will transform your partnership, as they have for my clients again and again. So, honor your commitment and use your willpower to leverage your why in service of your what by mastering the how. Talk to you in the next lesson.